Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio. It is Monday, January 14th. The conference championships are set in the NFL, and the Colts are done, unfortunately. We will recap all of that and more today. I'm Brandon Reif once again, and Jonathan Birdsong will be joining us as well. The call-in number tonight, if you do decide to call in, want to talk sports, you want to talk Colts, you want to talk basketball, you want to talk anything sports, 929 is the area code, 929-477-3331. If you're listening via the Blog Talk Radio page, there is a link there. While you're listening, it actually shows the call-in number as well. So it's 929-477-3331. We'll get it started in a moment here. We're going to get a couple quick ad reads, and we'll get started.
Hey, guys. You already know the Cash App is the number one app in finance. But did you realize you could get the most powerful debit card in the world with the Cash App? The Cash Card comes with a Boost, a feature you can't get anywhere else because the Cash App invented it. Just select the Boost in the Cash App store, swipe with the Cash Card, and save like 10% or more at Whole Foods, Shake Shack, Chipotle, Taco Bell, Chick-fil-A, and all coffee shops around the country. The coffee shop Boost takes a dollar off any coffee shop drink, including Dunkin' Donuts and Starbucks, and you can drink 100 cups a year and save $100. It's that simple to become a part of the greatest rewards program ever, and download the Cash App now. It's the number one app for a reason, and the Cash Card is the only debit card with Boost. So be an award-winning listener of the Crossroads Sports Radio Show and download the Cash App from the App Store in order to get your free Cash Card today and get boosted.
All right. Thank you, Cash App Card. Jonathan Birdsong, my man, welcome. How are you? How was your week?
How's my weekend? My week, pretty good. Thanks for having me back on. Good to be back on.
Hopefully you had a better week than our friends here in Indianapolis. Tough one Saturday. Colts at Chiefs. We'll get started right in there right away. Colts just got dominated all facets of the game by the Chiefs. Invoke Arrowhead, and you can sit there and blame the weather. You can blame the Colts are 1-8 now in outdoor playoff games with weather. Not good. What was your thoughts on the game?
You know, the Kansas City obviously fed off the crowd's energy, and they were the more aggressive team on offense, and Colts kind of seemed, you know, in shell shock. And once you kind of get down, you have to trade points with Kansas City anyway, because, man, let's just be honest, man, that dude's going to be the MVP. I don't know if they're going to get to the Super Bowl, but, you know, Mahomes is going to be the MVP. And his talent is just so unique. You know, he throws a football like a baseball.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? He has the capability to play, you know what I mean? So that puts him in, like, unique, you know what I mean? Real unique talent. I mean, I'm awed by it. You know what I mean? They just couldn't get down. And, like, the Colts have been a team throughout the season that's kind of, you know, kind of dug out of holes. But that was against lesser opponents, lesser quarterbacks, lesser talented individuals. And, like, that's kind of what happened. That's how I kind of see Kansas City. I knew Vinatieri, you know, wow. That's all you can say about that, because that's something you don't just see. That's something you don't see. Yeah, well, you haven't seen out of him, not back to back like that. I know he's had some misses.
Yeah, especially a 19-yarder that close.
I almost made a meme, Brandon, of him and Vanderjack back then and now.
I saw your photo.
Yeah. Oh my God, man. Yeah, that's. I mean, the Colts. Well, you know, I don't want to get – I mean, that's a whole other offseason deal, like what they're going to look like. It would probably be another discussion. But as far as the game is concerned, you know, Kansas City just got it ahead of them, and the Colts got, you know, offensively couldn't get it together.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the Colts, seeing the game, I went back and watched most of it again to kind of take a look at it. Penalties, shooting themselves in the foot. Third down stops, not getting third down stops on Kansas City, but also not converting first downs. I mean, if you're almost 0 for 9 or what, you're 0 for whatever for the first downs, or 0 for 9 on third downs, and you have zero first downs in the first half of a playoff game, that doesn't really write a good tale for the team. T.Y. Hilton, I put on Twitter, the ghost is ghosting us. T.Y., nowhere to be found until late. He scored a junk touchdown or whatnot, but nowhere to be found in Kansas City. Eric Ebron looked like he was back in Detroit again, dropping passes, crucial catches he should have had. You already touched on Vinatieri and his misses. A 23-yard field goal and then that extra point, definitely not like him. And then Andrew Luck, as he said in the postgame, just offensively, we couldn't get anything clicking. And props to Kansas City, they came out and played. The defense fit, and obviously the Colts secondary got exposed by a very fast Tyreek Hill. And the Colts have not seen a quarterback / wide receiver combo like that all season long. I would debate.
Absolutely.
So
this is a real tough out, and you know there could be a lot of excuses going in that the Colts could have made. Coming out of this, I didn't really hear any. I know T.Y. Hilton said, we all know T.Y. Hilton's been hurt, and you can only hulk up so much against us. NFL is not a series, but, you know, he played, you know, his ass off in the previous playoff game. And in the previous couple other regular season games, T.Y. Hilton kind of hulked up, so. A lot of times, you know, guys run out of steam because, like, you know, for lack of a better term, you can only hulk so much before I kind of all catches up with you. And they didn't have a tight end. He's been out for a while though too. Jack Doyle,
yep.
He's been out, like I said. But it's just something. I mean, it's nothing like, you know, everybody. You can't pull your head, like this. I'll be honest with you, Brandon. It's not like one of those Peyton Manning losses where we thought we was going to go, you know what I mean? There's so much expectation going into a season with Peyton Manning when, you know, going 12 and whatever or 13 or whatever, you know what I mean? And then you get to a playoff game and you lose one. It's not like that. The way I look at it, the way I assess it, is like how much not necessarily turmoil, but how much question marks did the Colts have going into the season? With the coach, with who, everybody, we didn't spend the money. What are you talking about? Why didn't we spend the money? Why did we trade? I knew why. Why did we trade the pick to get the, you know, why didn't we get Saquon Barkley? Why didn't, you know, Andrew Luck can't play? These are all the questions. These are many questions that, like, a playoff team usually don't have. No playoff team have questions. You don't question your quarterback, and you don't definitely question everybody on your roster. You know what I mean? If you're talking about a playoff run. So, I mean, with all that, and they started off looking like, you know, saying, "Oh my God, their Colts can't get it together." But what we saw in the Cincinnati game and the other Colts games that they play is that they just, you know, what's Miss Brandon? A lot of things that NFL a couple years ago reduced training camps and like time, like that shit. Sorry, pardon my friend.
They got rid of padded practices.
Yeah, so that stuff's important. So it takes time now, even with the Stanford graduate, to gel with this team. You know what I mean? So the Colts have a lot of, like, I mean, if this was open coaching staff now, I mean, they would be begging, you know what I mean? You'd be begging down the door to be the coach, you know what I mean, with the team that they've assembled. Do I think they're going to spend a whole lot of money? No, because guess what? Now we got to pay these rising stars that we kind of found, right? We got to play the Quentin Nelson of the world. We might have to extend. I don't know where Eric Ebron is. He just signed, so he's signed. But I know, what's the other guy on defense? Help me out, Brandon.
Which one.
Darius
Leonard's a free, he's a rookie. So, I mean, you've got him locked up. Hooker is only in his third year. Who was a key inactive on Saturday. I think that surprised a lot of people that Hooker didn't play, especially when you're going to be playing an active quarterback like Mahomes.
Correct. Like I said, they don't know, so, like, you know, they got to figure out who they got to pay. coming up too as well. Before they talk about bringing in, I think I tweeted out earlier today about Le'Veon Bell's chances of still coming in. I don't think he comes here. I think he goes to a Florida team or one of the, or the Jets. I was going to say one of the New York teams, but I think or he goes to the Jets. I don't. That's what I foresee. You know.
Yeah.
But
so really looking. You talked about the free agents. The Colts have 15 unrestricted free agents this offseason that they're going to have to address. I'll give you a kind of rundown of some of them. Ryan Grant, Adam Vinatieri, offensive lineman Matt Slauson, defensive tackle Al Woods, Mike Mitchell, safety, who was hurt in the wild card game against Houston and then went on the IR. J.J. Wilcox, safety, Dontrell Inman, who stepped up this year for the Colts big time. And then your safety, your other two safeties, you've got Ronald Martin, who's not really a big name for the Colts, but one of the biggest ones who's going to be a free agent is Clayton Gathers.
Right. So, again, they got to figure out – I know Inman's on the – he's on the wrong side of 30, but, you know, like you said, he stepped up. So do you go and do your invest in that long term, or do you try to find that in the draft that you kind of got some positives going on in the draft? Because you get because the Colts get a compensatory – that word – sorry if I jumbled it up, but they get a compensatory draft.
Compensatory.
Thank you, that word, for Moncrief going to Jacksonville. Somehow, it's crazy rules, man, but somehow they get an extra second rounder for going to Jack to a, you know, interdivision rival or whatever, like their fucking rival. Sorry.
But, I love it. You're hot tonight. I love it.
What I'm saying, you know, Jacksonville, you know, Brandon, you and everybody else who's a fan of their team, they think about we all play quarter, you know, GM or general manager or coach, right, at some point with our team and like where they think the team's going to go. Well, guess what? I do assessment for every team. I really do. Like after everybody's out of the playoffs or out of the playoff, out of the playoffs, right? So like again, your team, your real team, right? That you follow, Pittsburgh Steelers, dude. They need to kumbaya, and everything will be all right. I think. Okay, the way I assess it. Jacksonville Jaguars are far from that. They have no boot. They're a young team full of a whole lot of talented defensive guys. And nobody really believes in the quarterback. Not the front office, not the fans. He's okay, but this is still an offensive league where you gotta put up points.
Oh yeah.
So they're only gonna go so far and they're gonna end up being last. I don't even know any Jacksonville Jaguar fans, but I hope we have some listeners. But if you know any, their team gonna be looking at quarterbacks. So they better hope, you know, next year's crop is pretty good. I don't know about this year's crop of quarterback coming out of college. I don't think so. But I'm saying a lot of teams are worse off. They really are, and Jacksonville is one of them.
Yeah, I think what we'll do probably, because I think it's interesting for us and I think even for our listeners, is once the season's over, we'll go into a breakdown of each team, just kind of pluses and minuses from the year, and kind of where we see an outlook for them in the offseason. I think that'd be fun if me and you just kind of – we do little tidbits on each team for a special coming up. So, yeah, we'll put that together. A couple comments.
I'll save my comments for the Broncos. Woo.
Perfect. A couple things on the Colts to finish off, the put this one to bed. I felt, John, even with the Colts playing in the wild card game, they were playing with house money. And they went farther this year than anybody expected them to go, except for maybe Jim Irsay. I don't know. But really, I didn't expect them to go this far. Yeah, I didn't expect them to go this far, and I applaud their efforts. And there's nothing to be down upon like those Peyton Manning eras when they lost those games. Colts are ahead of their time. They'll regroup. They'll address some of the pieces they need to address. And they'll probably win the division next year. And instead of being on the road for a divisional playoff game, maybe they'll be at home.
Man. And, you know, the city of Indianapolis goes bananas when they have home playoff games here.
Yeah, they do. I know that for sure. I did see you kind of go well, not Twitter beef, which we love Twitter banter. I'll Twitter banter. I saw you going Twitter banter on with some people on the Colts and stuff on Saturday. I think it's Saturday or Sunday, one of the 2 days.
Yeah.
So
it gets deep, like, man, it gets deep. Like, people want to, you know, go position by position and question this move and that move, you know, like behind the scenes, right, dude. It's really a Colts Nation out there, Brandon. It really is.
Yeah. And yeah, you and Jack Brown is one of them I was looking at. You guys go back and forth, and then Cody Beaver, whoever this guy is, kind of going back and forth with Colts Nation. So it's good to see. And we love the banter always.
Right.
Looking at the other games, let's go to Saturday night's game. Dallas Cowboys, Los Angeles Rams. You even said to yourself,
oh, right,
the whole damn city of Los Angeles was going to be shelling out for this game. Post Malone was there. A lot of celebrities at this game. Rams, pull it off. It was a close game, supposed for a little bit, it looked like, but it was never in doubt, in my opinion. Rams do end up winning, going on to the NFC Championship, where we expected them to go. I enjoyed the game, and I always love seeing Dallas lose. Sorry, Cowboys fans. But
wow. Yeah, this ain't necessarily what, you know what I'm saying, your uncle's Cowboys that grew up on in the 90s, right? You know. Will the Dallas Cowboys ever get an identity?
Well, I thought they'd have it already with Zeke Elliott.
Well, sometimes it works, and Jason Garrett saved his job. He's the Dallas Cowboys coach, right? You know what I mean? But like, somebody will figure it out, Brandon, and the Eagles will win the division again next year. What happened this year is that the Eagles got hurt, right? That's what happened.
Uh-huh.
The Eagles got, you know, I'm talking about Carson Wentz. He got hurt. So they relinquish, but like the Dallas, the Dallas Cowboys look good enough, but they don't look. They're not America's team. They don't have enough to be that. They don't.
Yeah,
they're good enough. They're good enough, but you know, everybody else next year is gonna be good enough too.
Yeah,
so
I tweeted out. No, go ahead.
Not to poo-poo totally, you know, Dallas Cowboys, because you know the Rams. But, like, the Rams, man, play too close of a game with teams that should just, like, automatically blow out, I feel like.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, are they playing with them? Are they not putting a lot of effort? I still think the defense is suspect with them.
Yeah, it is, man. They go into a place where, it's going to be an old man. It's going to be the old quarterback bowl.
Yeah.
I'm fearful of it.
I tweeted out on Saturday night, I was hoping for a panicked Jerry Jones pacing back and forth on the sidelines in the fourth quarter. I was really looking for that. And here's my theory, Dallas Cowboy fans. I'm going to give you your outlook. Okay, this is for the next 2 years. So you ain't even to worry about anything. Just watch the games. Number one, Cowboys need to address a few things, right? They just got a wide receiver with Amari Cooper. They've got a running back. They've got a decent defense. They got Dak Prescott as your quarterback. So you need to look at weapons, right? Because offensively, they struggled at times. And next year, a lot of people are going to pick up on Amari Cooper. They're going to double him, whatnot. So put it in your head. Here's your Jason Garrett's already saved his job for this year. So
he has.
Watch Jerry Jones put a trade in for Antonio Brown. Okay. So then you have Amari and Antonio Brown on each end. So he does this. So they make the trade, right? The season goes on for the Cowboys. Say they make it and they lose in the wild card, or they lose in the divisional, or hell, God forbid, they don't even make the playoffs, Cowboys fans. I know, right? It's something you don't want to think about. They don't make it. Are they going to fire Jason Garrett for that? No. They're not going to. Jason Garrett saved his job, because you're going to know why. Jerry Jones and Garrett are going to come out and say, well, you know what? We took a chance on Antonio Brown, and you know, he just disrupted the locker room. So Antonio Brown will be the scapegoat for Jason Garrett to extend another year. So Garrett's got like three more seasons left with the Cowboys. That's my outlook.
Absolutely.
But you heard it from me first. Antonio Brown could be a Cowboy.
They're going to kumbaya that out, bro.
I don't think they are, especially with Antonio Brown. He took all the Steelers stuff off his Twitter, off his Instagram.
Oh, wow.
He's taken it all off. Apparently, it's come out. He told Jerry Rice, they were going back and talking this weekend, that he wants to be a 49er. And I can't blame him for supposedly wanting to be a 49er for two reasons. Number one, probably a little bit.
Are they one of the teams on upswing? I don't think so.
No. But here's the thing. That's a perfect point because, number one, it's nice out there during the November and December, and Antonio probably doesn't want to deal with the cold weather, so he wants to go out there. But secondly, diva wide receivers, and even Antonio Brown, this is where you can tell if you've got the player or not. He doesn't care about rings. He doesn't. He can sit there and say he's worried about it. He wants to win a championship. He's worried about winning a championship. Super Bowl is my goal. But if you go from the Pittsburgh Steelers to the 49ers, you tell me you have a better chance?
Yeah.
No, not at all.
I'm always – history also says that older wide receivers that have been in a certain system for a while don't do great when they go to a different city. I could probably think of one, maybe. Chris Carter from Philadelphia from Philadelphia to Minnesota, but you know, he really didn't achieve greatness until he got to Minnesota. He was all, you know, I only catch touchdowns, and hell, he led the league in touchdowns, you know what I mean?
Was Terrell Owens better as a Cowboy than he was a Niner?
I don't really like giving Terrell a lot of credit. Sorry, I'm sorry, T.O. he was better with the Niners. But
Randy Moss, I agree. Randy Moss is even a better Viking than a Patriot.
Right, even though they went to Super Bowl, like, man, his stats are ridiculous, and like, you know, so, oh my God, the highlights is even more. So I would suggest
or a Raider.
Oh no, that was horrible.
But, so, anyways,
go ahead.
To get back on the topic of our Dallas Cowboys and the Los Angeles Rams. I'm suspect of that defense. I think they're going to the Voodoo Dome this weekend down there in New Orleans, where based off yesterday's game, Saints, you know, it was pretty rough for them for the first three quarters. But no, I do like the Rams offense. I think they got several good pieces. Wade Phillips is a defensive coordinator. You thought that he was going to be able to do something against his old team with the Cowboys. So he coached them and was their coordinator for several years. Credit to me. Go ahead. We'll give credit to myself. Credit to me for taking the over and the Rams -8. So hit that nice parlay on Saturday night. So credit to me there. But yeah, so we've got after Saturday night, we had the Chiefs. And we had the Rams, both representing their conferences in the conference championship game. Any final thoughts on the Rams-Cowboys?
No, not at all.
Cowboys fans, don't worry. Jonathan Birdsong will give you his analysis for them in the offseason here in a couple weeks. So, and then we go to Sunday afternoon. Supposedly there was a game played at 1 o'clock, but – I don't know if it was played at 1 or it was played at 4.
That
the Patriots destroyed. Scrimmage?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was that was something.
They got pushed around. They got out-coached. You know,
death taxes and Tom Brady.
I'm pretty sure Phillip Rivers got out-talked trash. You know what I'm saying? The camera just caught him, you know what I mean, every time, because that's what he does. He's loudmouth, you know what I mean, trash talking.
Yeah, yeah.
But man, that was horrible.
Yeah, that was bad. Are you ready to backtrack your statements about Tom Brady yet?
About Tom Brady doing what?
Well, I wish I was. I could go back and find the clip where you said the Patriots were done and Tom Brady was finished. And
I thought.
And
he
you look now, where he's at eight
look
straight.
Look who they had to play. They had to play, man, the Chargers. Well, these football players, they're professionals, man, but they didn't. Like, man, the defense just couldn't do nothing.
No. Eight straight AFC title games.
They stuck to their zone defense. They're playing the daggone, you know, Tom Brady just picked them apart. Tom Brady just picked them apart. He did whatever the heck he wanted to. That was, like, if I was the general manager, once the coach gets back, we'd have to have a long talk. We'd have to figure out, like, what? We don't have a secondary defense coach.
Right. Eight straight AFC title games for Tom Brady and the Patriots. That's impressive. So, thinking of that, here's my question to you. I'm going to let you answer, and then I'll give my response. I thought about this today. Which feat is more impressive? Is it the Patriots and Tom Brady to eight straight AFC championships? Or is it LeBron James, eight straight trips to the NBA Finals?
It's kind of similar. It's kind of similar because it's different parts, different pieces. You know what I'm saying? But main constant on one side is LeBron, another constant is Tom Brady. Belichick plays a part in that as well. Can we say this? I can't answer that one, dude. That's hard. Can we say that Bill Belichick is probably one of the greatest defensive minds? I mean, he's the greatest. He's a great head coach, period, right? But, like, the defense that he throws out, like, it confuses even the most elitist quarterback. I mean, and I'm saying, we can disrespect Phil Rivers all we want. He is an elite quarterback. He's lasted this long. He lasted almost as long as Tom Brady as far as playing number of years. And I wonder if Chargers brass ownership, that too, right? Who they had three quarterbacks at laying at their feet at one point, right? They had Eli Manning, Drew Brees, and they have Phillip Rivers. I wonder who they wish they could have right now. The Chargers, right? I wonder who they wish they could have. Go back and check the story. They gave up on Drew Brees, and Eli Manning forced a trade, and that's why they got stuck with Phillip Rivers. But it's just a team that just can't write. They can't cash the checks that they have. They can't ever deliver, man. They're always going to be hover around 11 wins, 12 wins. They can't deliver.
Okay.
And he'll go into the Hall of Fame mediocrity.
Okay. Interesting. Now, to give you my take on this answer, I'm going to say it's Tom Brady and the Patriots. More impressive of a feat. And I'm going to tell you why. Most people say, hey, Brandon, you know what? That's a conference title game. That's not the show, the NBA Finals and all. And I say, you know what? I agree with you. But here's my key point. And I'm going to look at their star players, okay? LeBron James, when he's out on the court for those eight straight finals and such, and even leading up to the finals, he can dictate a lot of things on that court, right? It's 5-on-5 basketball. He can dictate the offense. He can do the defense. He can dictate the defense. He can be a game changer. We've seen it with those blocks plenty of times. Tom Brady, you're in charge of 11 guys, and really it's you and the wide receivers if you're passing it. So there's you and four other people besides your offensive line blocking for you. Then there's a whole another side of the ball you have to depend on other players to do well. I think it's more impressive, in my take, that Brady and the Patriots have done eight straight AFC championship games, also based off of the salary cap, because in the NFL, it's a little more than it's more strict than the NBA, where parity. The NFL has a salary cap set on parity, where they want several teams to be able to possibly make the big game, where the NBA says it, but the salaries and the teams don't look it.
Okay. Yep.
So that was my take on it.
Yes, that's tough for Brandon. I'm a Colts fan. I ain't gonna never give no Tom Brady no credit ever.
I know you won't. You just thick-headed. Saints Eagles, Philadelphia. I thought we were gonna have another Nick Foles magical run, possibly.
Dude. This dude's the new Captain Comeback, ain't he?
Oh.
Well, Captain, keep you in it. Like, keep you on the edge of your seats and keep it on the edge of your seats, man. And all Mr. Former Chicago Bear, you ask any Bear fans, Alshon Jeffries ain't a friend of theirs. You know what I'm saying? Like, he Butterfingers, like, dude, they pay you to do one thing. Come on, man.
Mm-hmm.
They pay you to do one thing, and that's worse than the field goal miss, dude. It is. It's worse than the field goal miss.
I agree. That was
because Brandon, they had the game won. They was gonna win the game again.
Yep.
Nick Foles is that good. Can you believe it? I can't. They have a good quarterback. I can't believe
it. Here's my problem
good.
Though, with how Nick Foles does with time management, with how Doug Peterson is with time management, John, why not let that run to the 2-minute mark and then use that timeout to start drawing up your next couple plays instead of rushing to get the ball snapped?
You know what? I asked the same. I'm not a Philadelphia fan, but I'm a fan of football, right? So, yeah, I asked the same question too, man. Like, a lot of times they seem to, like, rush things. I, you know what? Maybe the coach forgets that it's Nick Foles out there and not Carson Wentz. You know what I'm saying? As far as, like, timing. Carson Wentz seems like to be, like, the fast guy, right?
Uh-huh.
When he hasn't – dude, they got the most incredible quarterback controversy going into next season ever. I love it.
Yeah.
But because, like, they you're right. Tempo with both of those – especially with Nick Foles is, like, he's better when it's, like, slow, right? Slow tempo, not up tempo.
Yeah.
Not
you're Doug Peterson. You're Doug Peterson. Who's your quarterback next year?
That's what I said. They got the most incredible, you know. Carson Wentz obviously is the better quarterback. Athletically, he's the better quarterback. He runs better. You know what I'm saying? But the team wins. So Carson Wentz is going to be the quarterback. I would just pay Nick Foles. They're going to have to. Is Nick Foles going to ask for starter money?
Absolutely. Jimmy G style. Absolutely. I don't think Nick Foles is on the roster.
I think Nick Foles is in a system. Don't get me in trouble. I'm not saying he ain't talented. But I think Nick Foles is in a system that benefits his skill set. So if you take him out of this system saying, hey, Miami, let's say the Miami Dolphins or some other, I can't think, whoever needs a quarterback or whoever's going to have a quarterback transition. It might
absolutely.
Not work.
Absolutely. And it's not worked. It hasn't worked because he went from Philly to St. Louis. He was with the Rams, and it didn't get cut out.
Right. So you found a system, a guy, and some other talented guys to play around you that work with you. So, man, like I said, they're in a unique field. They're in a unique situation. Selfishly, I would want Nick Foles to take whatever contract. I don't think it would be embarrassing that the Eagles would offer him, but it would be obviously underneath what they would be paying Carson Wentz, which he might take. He might look at that negatively.
Yeah.
Or if somebody else offers him double the money, then, like, what are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to stay here because this is where it makes sense, or you are or take these fools' money over here?
Yeah. I thought it was pretty funny that in the locker room after the game, the Saints played Dangerous by Meek Mill in the locker room. And Meek Mill is notoriously known as a Eagles fan, and the Eagles played that song last year during their playoff run. So the Saints shoved it in their faces a little bit. And I do like Sean Payton. I liked before, and I'm sure you saw the story where he brought the Vince Lombardi trophy, the championship ring, and then $250,000 in cash. And put it all inside a like little box or a glass box you could see in. And he walked in with a couple security guards all around it. And everybody quieted down in the locker room. And all he said was, win three fucking games. Yep, I said the word. Win three effing games. And this is all yours. And the place erupted. So watch out for the Saints. I'm going to say it again. Credit to myself. Who picked the Saints to go to the Super Bowl? I think it was this guy here.
Man, I really don't want to see these year-old quarterbacks play one another. But it'd be pretty good, man, with those personalities between the coaches, they're totally on different sides, but very, you know what I'm saying, keyed into their teams year-round. We know the Saints, he's crazy about football. And, like, this would be, man, so think about it, Brandon. This would be another test. Drew Brees, he out-gunslinged Peyton Manning one night, out-gunslinged Tom Brady.
Yeah.
That's more GOAT talk. Like, man, who's in your top five now? So we'll see.
By the way, I did my little list. I put it on the list, and top all time wrestlers from what you said last week, and I saw your tweet. I don't even have Jericho in my top 12.
Oh man, you gotta be kidding me! He's the best in the world.
No, he's not. I don't have him.
He is.
I don't even have him. Anyways,
stay on that. Go
ahead. We're at the AFC Championship picks now. NFC Championship picks. First one, NFC title game played at 3:00 on Sunday. Rams at the Saints. Saints are 3.5-point favorites. I'm going to go with my preseason pick that I have and stick with the Saints.
Okay. I know better, but I'm going with the Rams. Same with destiny.
That's not – I don't think you can go wrong with either one in the Super Bowl. I think both of them would be great to watch in the Super Bowl.
I would not want the Rams to play the Patriots.
Yeah. Well, I tell you this.
Jared Goff against Bill Belichick? Come on, man. Oh, my God.
I've got some news that the Colts fans might like, though. Picture this scenario, John. Tom Brady versus the Rams in the Super Bowl. Patriots, unfortunately, this is going to be good news for the Colts. Patriots win the Super Bowl. Okay, here we go. Patriots win Super Bowl over the Rams. Tom Brady rides off into the sunset, retires. Because.
Retires?
Who did he win his first Super Bowl against?
The Rams.
The Rams.
See what you did there.
Who's he going to win his last one with? The Rams. Colts fans, you don't have to worry about the Patriots anymore after that. There's a chance. I'm just saying, there's a shot.
You need to work with a Super Bowl comedian with that one.
Hey, I thought about it today. I said, that just clicks. I said, Brady's first title was against the Rams. Could play it all over again.
You know what, man? Like, listen, man. Like, dude, what is this there to prove, dude? I think that's how Gronkowski thinks. Like, what is there left to prove? But he just plays because, like, where else are you going to get a, $6, $7 million check plus endorsement money and then, do whatever else you want to do?
Yeah. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, if they win the Super Bowl, yeah, retire, both of them.
And here's another stay woke moment for you. If Tom Brady and the Patriots beat the Rams in this Super Bowl, for Brady's, sixth title or whatever not he's gotten – ring-wise, six titles. This would be also, he beat the Rams on this first one, and then this one. It would be 18 years to the day of his first Super Bowl win.
That's evil.
And the only reason I know that is because the Super Bowl is on my birthday, and the Super Bowl was on my birthday that year as well when they won.
Wow.
And here's the funny thing. Guess where that Super Bowl was played?
Where they won? I don't know.
It was played in New Orleans, who the Rams are playing. Just telling you, there's a lot of the Butterfly Effect?
What are we playing, 6 Degrees with Kevin Bacon?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, I'm just trying to make you think. Anyways.
Yeah, we got to talk about college basketball.
We will. It's coming right here. AFC predictions. Patriots at the Chiefs. Chiefs are 3-point favorites at home against the Patriots. John.
Patrick Mahomes gets it done, man. That dude's a freaking lecture, man. If he don't throw an interception, they'll blow the Patriots out.
Okay.
If he doesn't interception, they'll blow the Patriots out. And we won't even have to worry about any of these other old crazy scenarios.
But what about Bill Belichick against a rookie quarterback? You just said yourself
at some point it has to happen. At some point, a second-year quarterback, rookie, he is technically a rookie, MVP, man, this is ridiculous. He's got all the tools. And yes, it did, and like it did, they did take a hit with the controversy with the running back Kareem Hunt. You know what I mean? But it's him. So, but he has to control. I'm not talking like he's, you know, Return of the Jedi or something. He's got to control his interceptions. I said that from day one when I saw it on film. I'm like, wait a minute, that's not cool. Yeah, he got 3 touchdowns, but he just gave the ball back to. And that's not what you do. That's not smart. You know, if that's not how the Patriots win. They win by controlling the clock. They win by having good defense, not putting the defense out in bad situations, and not making dumb moves on special teams. You know what I mean?
Right.
Kansas City, the way he plays on the edge, and I respect that because, man, when you're that fast, that good, you can play on the edge. You can think you can get that ball where that ball wasn't supposed to go. But remember, them dudes that you're playing against are fast too. So if they keep the turnovers down, the mistakes down, Kansas City's not really they're not a real big they're not a real big penalty team, but he does give the ball up, and you can't
absolutely
they lost against the lesser teams. They should have blew the Chargers out of the water, I can't remember what week that was, but they should have blew the Chargers out of the water, and it didn't happen because because of the interceptions. You know, I worry sometimes about the coach,
Andy Reid.
I worry about, you know, but I think they get it done. I think they get it done.
Okay.
All that aside, I think they get it done.
I will bring up that earlier this year, week 6, Patriots won 43-40. Mahomes threw 4 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, including a terrible interception towards the end of the game there that cost way too much. I gave the Patriots a shot for the field goal to win the game.
Right.
You said turnovers and things, and Mahomes threw those picks, and that's what set up New England for that win back on week 6. I am going to go with the Patriots to win this game for 2 reasons.
Awesome.
Number one, you're giving Bill Belichick a second look at this quarterback, at this offense, to adjust. He is the maestro. Everybody plays with the maestro. Secondly, until I see New England get beat in an AFC championship game, I will continue to pick them until they get beat.
You've seen them get beat before. Peyton Manning came back and beat them before. I know that was, 4 score 7 years ago, but it did happen.
Well, Peyton Manning's not walking in that door today for Kansas City.
Hey, Patrick Mahomes, man, like,
I want Kansas City to win. Trust me, I want them to win. But my heart says Kansas City, my brain, and this podcast and radio show.
Okay. What do you got for the NFC?
I got
the
Saints.
We know who you got.
Yeah, I picked them since the beginning.
So you're going with the old Robo.
Yeah, I am. And we've got separate picks, which is great. We've each got some different ones. All right,
awesome.
Quick hitters. Let's talk college basketball.
I can't wait.
Where do you want to start? I'll let you start us off. Are you talking about
this,
the Hoosiers right now, who are just playing terrible, getting the brakes beat off of them?
It's hard to focus on the Hoosiers and the talent that they have when the one and done era in Duke is. I was like, dude, I can't believe Coach K has out Calipari.
Yep.
With what he has right now, and they all play. And like Florida State's not a bad team. This is actually a pretty good Florida State team that probably, I can't say Sweet 16, but they'll make the tournament. They'll make noise. So like, if you fill out your bracket, get them past at least week 1, ladies and gentlemen, book it, Florida State, okay? But Zion Williamson went out of the game, right? And he got, because he got to protect $1 million. Just to be honest, that's what we're doing. He got to protect $1 million. And then RJ Barrett takes over. We forget about this other wing. You know,
Cam Reddish.
And then Cam Reddish. I don't know what Florida State was thinking defensively. I know they probably
How do you leave him open?
Tape. Right. I know he was running, but they didn't think the kid was bad. They didn't think the kid was going to hit it. They didn't. They didn't think the kid was going to be that clutch and hit it. And he clutched and hit it.
Yeah.
So here's the thing, though, Brandon, and we'll get to IU's woes here in a second. All those guys are good, and they're all rookies. I mean, sorry, they're all freshmen. And next year they'll be rookies in the NBA, but they're still going to need time to develop and still mature. Like, people are going to expect them to be like, oh, man, like Cam Reddish can't do that. I don't think – I mean, he's not going to be able to do that next year. You know what I mean? He'd be playing against a whole nother level of talent. You know what I mean? So – They're going to be – oh, my God, Brandon. They're probably going to be the top four picks.
Absolutely. All four of them.
They're probably going to be right. Transition over to Butler. I mean, before we get to IU, sorry. There's a whole other – I mean, Butler has taken over Indiana airwaves, too. We got to talk about Butler. We don't forget about the Bulldogs a lot of times when we have our conversations, Brandon.
Well, there's a lot to forget about this year with
Butler – They got to be in jeopardy of not making the tournament. They don't have a significant road win, and then they played Xavier last night, and they were up, and then got careless and let Xavier miss free throws. I don't think Butler. I mean, they might pick up a win against DePaul. They might pick up a win against DePaul going on this weekend, but I don't think Butler might. They might not make the tournament.
No, and the games get harder for them as well. They got St. John's after DePaul. Then they got Villanova, Creighton, a Marquette team that's scary good, and Seton Hall.
People around here have gotten used to, like, Butler runs or Butler making a tournament, at least getting past week one or, you know what I mean, and then sneaking in week two. But I don't think it's going to happen, not this year.
No. They 10-7 right now. 10-7, 1-3 in the conference, third to last.
Indiana University. I want to give everybody a due time. Didn't Purdue, before we get to IU, didn't Purdue pick up a win against Wisconsin? That's a tough win.
We did. Big win. Carson Edwards, 36 points up at the Kohl Center. Very hard to win up there.
Yeah, I know they needed a win after Michigan State, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, pick up a win against Wisconsin. That's with this young bunch. Let's just be honest. You know, Purdue's a young bunch, and you know they're gonna take some. You know, they're gonna take some lumps, and they're gonna have some growing pains, and they're gonna get some wins also.
They need to keep it going tomorrow. They play Rutgers tomorrow night.
Yeah,
at home.
You can't overlook Rutgers. You know,
Rutgers just beat a good Ohio State team.
Yeah, but just that Ohio State team. I don't know if they listen to Tom Allen anymore. Are they listening to? Still, are they paying attention to what he's saying?
Who?
Coach Allen.
Who's Coach Allen?
Hey, who's the coach of Ohio State?
Chris Holtman. The old Butler coach.
That's right. He went there like 2 years ago. I thought his name was Allen.
If I had the backwards like rewind button, I'd play that right there for you.
Yeah. My bad. I thought his last name was Allen. I don't know why.
No, it used to be Thad Matta, and then it went to Chris Holtman.
Right. Well, are they listening to him up here in Ohio State?
I think they are. They had a hell of a match. They kept very close with Michigan State at Michigan State last Saturday.
Well, they don't give you wins for being very close.
No, they don't.
The Big Ten is very deep. Here's the thing, right? You know why? Because the Pac-10 sucks. I guess the best – who's the best team – who's the best league? ACC, you would say? It might be a little thinned out this year. It might be a little thinned out this year because North Carolina – I know we're going topsy-turvy. And I ain't got the IU yet, right, because they don't deserve to be. North Carolina – sorry, IU fans. North Carolina, they're going to have to take a look. Is he getting ready to tell another speech, Roy Williamson?
You got to fake a heart attack or something.
Well, don't start that, dude. he usually goes through these transitions with these teams where he's got these talented dudes that ain't listening to a word that he's saying. Sort of like the Ohio State coach, but like it's North Carolina. So, like, hey, you got to listen to Roy Williamson, right? He's the one that got all the championships. He got the key to get you to where you need to go. But, like, they got – well, they underachieving. North Carolina is.
Uh-huh.
He needs to make the speech.
They got blown out by Louisville in a bad way. Yeah, they're at home.
Yeah.
I was tweeting my buddy who's a Carolina fan. I said, oof, I hate to see that at home.
But here's the thing, Brandon. Even a 500 North Carolina team, because they got some good – they play – things about who they play. They RPI, you know what I'm saying? And they got good wins, you know what I mean? They're gonna make the tournament.
Absolutely. Their RPI is number 20. They're number 10 in the net average, which the net is the new RPI that they use for quality wins and such.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're 7-1 at home, 4-1 on the road, 12-4 overall. They've won 7 of the last 10 games. I think Carolina is fine. Tanner, you and the rest of your Notre Dame your fans don't need to worry. You got Notre Dame, Miami. And then you got Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech has surprised me this year.
Yeah, I would say the ACC is the best conference, but
so
because
11 teams.
Yeah, because the Pac-10, it's not hell. Bo just stopped playing. He's another million-dollar guy that, you know what I mean, he got hurt playing for Oregon, and now he's not playing. But they're not going to get – I don't think they're going to get – their champion probably get in, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever wins the tournament. So, I don't know. This is a preview. I know there's other brighter minds that know who's in or out right now as far as the tournament. But it's probably going to be some smaller teams that actually get in this year over the larger school.
Absolutely. What I plan on having is – there's a guy that we always do our March Madness selection show Sunday special with. We usually stream that on Facebook. I'm sure you've tuned in before and seen it. But he has a whole computer system where he puts in each game, quality of wins, all this, and it spits out a big spreadsheet. And then he has his own ranking system of all – he's pretty much Joe Lenardi, his own bracketology, kind of like what I have. But this guy is good. His name's Nick Petey. He's worked with Crossroads Sports plenty of times. As we get more into January, late January and February, I'm going to have Petey call into the show. And where he's going to talk some college basketball. He's our guru for this. So he knows the ins and outs, which one should be getting in and things. And last year, he had 66 of the 68 teams that were selected for the tournament. That's pretty damn good.
All right.
So
I'll leave the Hoosiers for last. This is all I got to
say. Absolutely. By the way, go to Warren. Warren Nolan. So Warren Nolan NOLAN.com. If you go to that, click men's basketball. It's a great database website. Shows quality of wins, group winning percentages, RPIs. It's a good statistical website to look at for all those gurus out there.
The Hoosiers, listen, Romeo Langford, I follow him on several different draft boards. He's fallen out of the first round.
He's fallen out?
On several draft boards, he's fallen out of the first round.
Oh, my.
So, I don't know what – I mean, they're going to make the tournament, but, like, that's not what IU is about, just making the tournament.
No,
so,
they're down. They're down 9 right now at home to Nebraska at halftime.
Oh, wow.
Nebraska's no slouch. I mean, it started out 9-0,
like,
Nebraska.
Like, man, like, this team, are you supposed to beat, though?
Very oh, yeah, absolutely.
There's some teams they're supposed to beat. Nebraska's one of them. Like, you're supposed to beat. You might have a – Iowa might be a tough out. You know what I mean? Of course, Purdue always going to be a tough out. Michigan, they've got a better team. Michigan State – I'll be honest with you, Brandon. It's IU. It should be a tough out. It should be but IU right now is not playing like that. IU's playing like right now, man, we're just as good as Nebraska. That's not acceptable. That's not acceptable, yeah. Hoosiers. You fired Tom Crean for less.
Exactly. Big game this Saturday.
They got what now? They play who?
Big game this Saturday. IU travels to West Lafayette Saturday. Take on the Boilermakers. 2:00 Crossroads Sports plans on being there. I always say plans on because depending on what this next winter storm that's supposed to hit us.
Oh, God. Man.
That they're saying heavy snow, heavy winds, ice.
Say it's not a snowpocalypse coming, please. Don't say
Crossroads
that.
Sports don't travel in the snow. I'll tell you that.
Right.
We got a better vision here. So I would love, I have the credentials for the game. I'd love to gonna hopefully be there for IU Purdue. But if the weather, traffic roads are bad, I won't be going. So,
That's smart.
But yes, the Hoosiers, this is a game, even this Nebraska game is a game that they should win, should have won easily. Maryland, even,
right.
John, Maryland, they were up huge on Maryland. And you lose by three.
I don't get
for
it.
Them.
They don't, and I, but I don't, I'm not paid to get it. So
that was going to be, they still do not have a good road victory yet. There's no road victories. I mean.
No, because, right, because you know what? You beat Butler with a buzzer beater. It means a whole lot to everybody here in the Circle City. It does. But it don't mean squat. It don't mean squat to the committee. Not no more.
1-4 on the road.
This ain't 1995. This ain't 1995 no more.
Mm-hmm. 1-4 on the road, 10-0 at home.
Yeah.
Shrink the schedule of a 54. So.
That, dude, you know that. Dude, they all they got to do is win one little pissant game in the Big Ten tournament. And because it's IU and alumni and they'll bring out, you know, Crimson Cream and the band and all that crap, they'll get in. They'll get into the tournament, but they got to play better. You just don't go to, you know what I mean, to get to the tournament.
Yeah, I agree. Conference. You talk about conference rankings. This website, warrennolan.com, I'm going to promote it again. It's a great website. Out of all the conference, it ranks conferences, okay, based on how they've done and where the prediction is. They do predictions for each game, but then they also kind of do for the season based on what's happened already and what to expect. The Pac-12, John, you talk about how bad they are. They're projected right now to be the seventh best conference in the country. Seventh best.
So who's over them? Big guys? The big guys over them too?
I'd like to – I wonder if I can find that. I'm not sure who they've got. I mean, obviously the Big Ten.
I would assume the Big 12 is probably third. Kansas, Oklahoma, this is good. Kansas State,
SEC.
I would say just fell out of the top 25.
Yeah, they did.
They're gonna make pushers come back. Kansas is gonna win the conference again. So
I'm gonna give some love to the SEC conference. Especially the Kentucky. Not Kentucky. I just saw they moved up today in the rankings. But Tennessee. Tennessee Vols are good. Rick Barnes has got himself some boys down there that can play basketball.
He does. Rick Barnes always had good teams in Texas. One of the highly notable recruits is Kevin Durant. But he always had other good teams in Texas. It's just that Texas is not – basketball is probably not is secondary. It's not, you know what I mean, it's not important. So, but Tennessee, you know, Tennessee's always appreciated deep basketball with women, you know, deep basketball history. And even, you know, the men had some little teams that made a little noise here recently, even with the guy who's played for Purdue, Conville Martin, when he coached there. I think they made a Sweet 16 or something like that. But, I think he's got them playing. Remember how the SEC basketball used to be, you know, Kentucky and everybody else now, you know, Alabama beat Kentucky last week, I do believe. But, yeah, now the SEC is a little competitive. Absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, the Pac-12, I honestly think it's only a two-team race in the Pac-12. I think it's Arizona and Washington. Those are going to be your main two teams that are probably going to come out of that conference. You may get a Oregon State, but their RPI ranking is god awful. I mean, Arizona's 13-4, Washington's 12-4. Those are going to be your main dogs. Oregon State 3-0 in the conference, but they don't. But if you're talking how far they're going to go, I don't think that with them in that conference, I don't think it goes far. If I'm just going to go through the conference RPIs real quick. The ACC, Virginia, you have a lot of love for Virginia. I know I've seen you on Twitter. You had a lot of love for the Cavs. And then the whole state of Virginia, if you look at it, Virginia, Virginia Tech, combined record of 29-1.
Yeah, crazy, man. What Virginia lacks in star power like Duke has, where they have, you know, you can see the talent level going to the NBA. I think Virginia maybe has one pro for sure. I don't want. They got some guys probably can play overseas for darn sure. They probably got one NBA guy, but they are a solid unit. And I know, you know, last year they looked horrible, right? Week one, I figured they got spoiled. They was like a one seed or two, were they a two seed? I know they lost.
No, they were the number one overall seed.
Yeah, number one overall seed lost week one, and it looked bad. But they're not. This is a team that has a lot of depth, and it's a lot of, you know, older guys. You know what I mean? Junior, senior, sophomores. Not one and done.
Mm-hmm.
And they play solid as a unit. I mean, if you like, you know, pure, you know, pass three times around the, you know, perimeter type of basketball, Virginia's a squad because they play, you know, traditionally. And they got, you know, enough ammo in their starting rotation and off the bench, you know, to, you know, shoot threes. But they're not – there's nobody on this team that's a wow. You're like, you know what I mean, the one and done they have in Duke. But and then, again, like you said, you've lamented on Virginia Tech. It's a new day in the ACC. It ain't just, you know, Duke and North Carolina no more.
No, not at all. John, just looking real quick, I went to kind of look at the conference rankings as you were talking there, just to kind of see where everybody kind of currently is at. Give me one second. There's one more I wanted to check because I bet you it's going to surprise me. Yeah, I was interested with the West Coast Conference, with the teams they have out there, where they were at, but their West Coast is ranked ninth. So your number one conference currently right now through these rankings is the Big 12. The Big 12 is the number one team or conference
what?
Right now. Yeah, you've got Texas Tech at 15-1, Kansas at 14-2, Oklahoma 13-3, Iowa State 12-4, Kansas State 12-4, TCU 12-3, Texas 10-6. I mean, you've got of the 10 teams, one, two, yes, seven of them that are at least 10 wins right now.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I need to get some more Saturdays off to see the tape.
Yeah.
They were all watching, but I don't know.
yeah, that's what I need. I need to see some more tape as well. But, yeah, so Big 12 is number one. Number two is the Big 10. The Big 10 comes in at number two. The Big East, number three. The SEC number four, and the Pac or the ACC is number five.
All right, that's interesting.
So,
that's,
and then the Pac-12 is seven. So, I don't know who's six. I'm curious who is number six, because there's got to be some junk, somebody that's not good. I thought maybe it might have been the WAC or the West Coast Conference, but it wasn't them.
Okay.
It's not the Missouri Valley. They're god-awful now. Anyways, well, I wonder if it's the MAC. Nope, they're number eight. I mean, the MAC's ran away this year. I mean, Buffalo is head and shoulders above everybody else.
Yep.
So, no problems there. Speaking of college basketball, also, I tweeted out earlier tonight, I started my first one of this year, my bracketology, my top 16 seeds currently right now, where I see them and where I'm placing them at. Your four number one seeds, Michigan, Tennessee, and Gonzaga. Gonzaga out west, and I did not put Gonzaga in over Virginia, people. I know that's going to piss some people off, but so be it. In the East.
Teams that mirror one another. Let me tell you.
Absolutely. Well, I just don't see the committee putting Virginia out west when Gonzaga is right behind them. I just don't
see
it.
Not after last year's fiasco. They won't.
They want to keep them close to home. So
yep.
East number one, I'll go East, Midwest, South, and West. We'll do that. In the East region, my number one seed, the Duke Blue Devils, number one overall seed in the tournament. That's not going to change anytime soon. Number two seed, I have Kansas. The Kansas Jayhawks is the number two seed in the East. I debated on having Virginia in that spot. The problem is I don't see the committee wanting as well to have two ACC teams as the 1 and 2 there. And then with Virginia being the top overall, number 2 seed, I had to move them around. I got Virginia Tech as a 3 seed and Florida State. You just talked about Florida State. I got Florida State as a 4 seed in the East currently right now. The Midwest, I have Michigan, Virginia, Kentucky, Marquette. In the South, Tennessee, Michigan State, Auburn, and North Carolina. And then in the West, Gonzaga, Texas Tech, Nevada, and Buffalo, out of the Bulls, out of the MAC. So it's been posted on the Facebook page for Crossroads Sports. It's also been posted on the Twitter accounts. So get a chance to take a look at it, comment what your thoughts are. But right now, that's my top 16 seeds for the NCAA tournament this week. So they will change each week, obviously. So, but that is it. Predictions, Purdue-IU this weekend. What do you think?
Oh, wow. Two teams. I'm going to go Purdue. Sorry, Hoosiers.
Okay. Interesting. I've got the Boilers, obviously, as well, winning at home. At IU will be a different story. I got last three things I have. Quick hitter thought on the Bears are interested in Kareem Hunt. Should they or should they not?
Matt Nagy is familiar with him, right? The Bears need another. You know what? I can't remember who said it, but we're going to say I said it, right? Young quarterbacks need good running backs to take the pressure off of them. Okay? Now, Trubisky, I mean, it wouldn't hurt, okay? And it wouldn't hurt. And the NFL needs to do some type of – I'm not a perfect service announcer, sorry. They need to do some type of rehab with my man's career, okay? NFL. They need to do some type of rehab with my man. The man, he's super talented and, you know, so I don't know. Apologetic. I don't know. They got to figure that out, Brandon. That would be. I would have a problem. I mean, but they got to figure that out. He's got to figure out his image because that's what's damaged here. Okay.
Yep.
Yes, he's super talented. Yes, he could help that team. And yes, it would be a new start, fresh start. You know what I mean? In a world where we pride ourselves on fresh starts for people when they make mistakes, if they're apologetic in it and they actually change, right? Not trying to be too high-minded for anybody, but I'm saying, if this is what you want, if you want back into that world, that's what you're going to have to do, you know? But, but the Bears, I mean, can you – that's a whole lot of work to do, Brandon. They can find that in the draft, right?
Oh, yeah.
Ain't running back down the dust, they say?
Yeah, absolutely. Kyler Murray announced that he – is going to enter the NFL draft. The Oakland A's said they're willing to pay him more. Tell me your comparisons, John, on Kyler Murray. Which is better for him? And then a follow-up on that. You were in that Bo Jackson era. Can it work for Kyler Murray as well as it did for Bo?
For him to play both? No.
Yes.
To play both, man, you had to be a really big guy. You know, that's not something that he has in his favor. He's playing quarterback. I marvel at the bidding war that has come over between the NFL and Major League Baseball because, like, it's a good story. I mean, that's what I like. I mean, you know, he probably ain't graduated from college yet, but hell, he's got billion-dollar companies bidding for his services, right? For him to go to the NFL, listen, Brandon, he's better than – what's that one quarterback that played for Cleveland with the Notre Dame? That he played for a while. But
Brady Quinn?
Yes. Dude, he's better than Brady Quinn. That's what he – I mean, so Brady Quinn got a – Brady Quinn was like pick 12 in his draft. He got an endorsement deal. He got the start for 2 years, and then after the 2 years, when they figured out he couldn't be a starter, you know, he made a couple other teams, and he was gone. But all the while, he took advantage of, you know, the opportunity. It, I mean, and, you know, I know different set of circumstances. Brady Quinn graduated from Notre Dame and ended his career or whatever. But I'm saying we now, all that thing, all those things are kind of sped up now. He's a Heisman Trophy winner, and $15 million over here and another, you know, $12 million over here. So what do you do? What's my man's name? Also with Notre Dame. His name Jefferson Marshall. Pitch for the Cubs, right? Like,
yep.
Dude, remember? He was a great tight end. Like, he was an NFL tight end, I thought. He didn't have a whole lot of speed, but he had a whole lot of size. You know what I mean? He had good hands, and he could take hits. But he chose, you know, he chose baseball. He's right. Who wants to get beat up? You know what I mean? I worry about Kyler Murray's skill set in this aspect, Brandon, because I think he can play NFL football? Absolutely. But during that championship game, he had a lot of bat downs, did he not? Like, you know, where the defensive guy was basically batting the ball down, like he was getting over. You know what I mean? Is that more
yep.
so? Is that an issue with the lineman that Oklahoma had? Or was that an issue with him? You know what I mean? I think technically it's an issue with him. Like, he'll be seeing a lot more.
Baker Mayfield's small,
more,
too.
Yeah, but I would have to. So I don't know. It's a way you see for me, for football, for me, for him. But baseball, if I was him, I would explore that a little bit further, especially right now. Baseball is, granted, we're in a new world now. Baseball is third, if not almost fourth, getting ready to be. Because if soccer, this next generation, Brandon, got any young nieces or nephews in between the ages of 8 to 14, do they play soccer?
Yes.
And they're all crazy about soccer. Cousins, you know, they're all crazy about soccer. Dude, that's going to be the next sport that kind of takes over, I think.
Well, they got to make the World Cup, and that'll kind of help out that sport.
Yeah, it will for Americans. Yeah, it will. But, like, baseball does not have great feel-good stories anymore. Not even, I mean, not to be, you know, racial or anything. Not even with white, you know what I mean, not even with white players. Now we got white players demanding $312 million contracts. That's crazy. It's crazy when the black players do it, too. I want to make sure, Brandon, okay?
But I was going to say.
That's insane, you know? So baseball has, you know, they don't have an image problem, but they have, like, you know, NBA dudes, like, ready. They, like, dude, they set Trae Young up and all these other guys. We're setting Zion Young up right now. So, like, we can't wait till he plays for the Orlando Magic next year, right? Or whoever. I'm just saying, Orlando Magic. I hope he ends up there. That'd be awesome if he did, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there is a better transition in this sports hemisphere when you from the NCAA, you know, ranks. And, like, he's a great story. I think Major League Baseball better do their best to try to get him because he's a good story.
Okay. Kyler Murray, 5'10 in height right now as well, 5'10". I can't remember when I was younger. I didn't look into it too much, but obviously, and there's a 30 for 30 coming out here next month for it, but Deion Sanders – he did the double as well, football and baseball. It worked out for him very well. I mean, he's 6'1". He wasn't the biggest guy. And he played defense in football where, you know, you can be prone to a lot of injuries because you're the ones doing the hitting. So, I don't know. I think it'd be interesting if he could do both.
Deion wasn't a hitter. Deion wasn't a hitter. Deion was a ball go-getter and, you know, he's an interception machine, and he wasn't really a hitter. He loved he didn't like he'd tell you. I'll find the quote later. I don't like to hit. I get the ball. You know, there's another one, Brian Jordan. I do believe he's played for the Braves, Atlanta Braves.
Yes.
Is it Brian Jordan? Yeah. And he played for the Braves, and he played for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah,
I'm looking it up as we speak.
All right, when
yes, he did.
Okay.
He was a safety. He was a safety in the NFL.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of work. You got to be a supreme athlete and committed to, like, working out and taking care of your body to do that now. I mean, and Deion was really into himself during that time. And I remember the one game he played, I think somewhere he played in two great – he played, like, in the World Series. Not, it wasn't the World Series. He played in, like, it had to be – It wasn't the World Series. I don't think they ever made. I don't think he was there. I don't think he played for Atlanta when they made the World Series.
He did.
Did he?
He was only in one World Series. He went 1-for-13.
Okay. I'm thinking though, it was one of these games, one of these days, he had to play two playoff games he had to play a playoff game in the NFL and a playoff game. But that's not right. That's because the playoff seasons don't collide like that. I don't know. He was known to play games. He did do that though. It wasn't a playoff game. He played a game, two games in one day.
Mm-hmm.
He played a baseball game.
I'm looking it up.
And a football game in one day.
Yeah, because he played with Atlanta, so he played for the Braves and then the Falcons, which. And that's one thing with Kyler Murray. I mean, he ain't gonna play for Oakland. Oakland's not gonna draft him. Or would they? I mean, he'd be in Vegas.
Would
but...
Oakland draft? And then he'd just be the backup. We know he'd be the backup.
How long though? Because people were talking about getting rid of Derek Carr. Or
if he gets rid of Derek Carr, he may well fire himself.
He's got rid of everybody else. So, who knows? Couple last things for you. Number one, Indiana Pacers, 28-14, third in the East, fifth in the NBA. They faced the Suns on Tuesday. They had a really good performance the other night against the Knicks. Played really, really well on the road in Madison Square Garden. Before that, they got smacked in the face at the TD Garden Center against the Celtics.
Yeah, the Celtics, oh, man, don't get me started.
Kyrie Irving, that's where I wanted to get you segue to. We got about 10 minutes left.
I'll give Kyrie a little time. I also kind of wanted to talk about, like, where's the better place to play than Alabama? I don't know why dudes are defecting. If you're going to turn pro, of course, but I will get to Alabama later. Nick Saban hurt feelings and Jalen Hurts feelings and so on and so on. But Kyrie Irving's got to be, like, dude, you got traded. You asked for certain things, and now you can't handle it. Now you don't want it. Or, you know, and he says, you know, now he's calling out teammates, and now it's kind of bled over to where Horford was saying, hey, we don't play hard all night. So who are these guys saying? Who are they talking about? Are they talking about one another? You're pointing fingers because you lost to Orlando twice, and you should blow that wheels off Orlando every time you play them because they have lesser talent. And I kept, Brandon, we just said in the last segment, who's going to be playing potentially for Orlando? A lottery pick.
Yeah.
Potentially. You know, I mean, even though Orlando's got a pretty good, decent record this season, they're still going to be, you know, bottom part of the lottery. But you're supposed to be the Boston Celtics. You're supposed to be at least first or second in the East, and you have all this talent. But every time Kyrie Irving speaks, he's saying and talking about who, like, he doesn't have enough talent here or he doesn't have enough veteran leadership here. I tell you what, Brandon, and I know this sounds like a real tirade, and it is, because I'm a fan of the organization. I'm not necessarily a fan of Kyrie Irving. He got traded to the organization, so I kind of accept it, okay? He's an elite-level player, but I just don't know, kind of like Paul George, if he has it all between the ears, okay? You got traded to the Boston Celtics with your one little championship, and I don't mean that's how I do it. You got traded to the one little championship that you rode, I won't say coattails, but you rode on the coattails of the king to get there, because prior to, you never had enough skill set or leadership ability to lead a team to the playoffs before LeBron James got there. That was a fact, big fact. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, they were the worst team with Kyrie.
They were, and everybody gives excuses, says, "Hey man, he was a young player, blah blah blah." But no, he's the leader of the team, and he's not capable. Here's what Kyrie Irving is learning real fast: that he's probably the secondary superstar on a team. You can still be the leader and still be the secondary superstar, but you're the secondary superstar. My personal opinion, Brandon, the team plays better through Jason Tatum. But Jason Tatum is the future. Kyrie Irving is the present. So what basically Kyrie Irving is doing is arguing, is trying to tell Danny Ainge, who's, listen, Brandon, I will talk gloriously about general managers like or and coaches like Pat Riley and Danny Ainge because and I was going to and Popovich too, right? And like, excuse me, their basketball brain, Danny Ainge learned from the best. Look at the tree he came from. He came from Randy Arbeck's coaching tree. You know, he's from that tree.
Mm-hmm.
Danny Ainge successful everywhere he played at. Successful in Portland Trailblazers. Successful at Phoenix. When, you know what I'm saying, I'm talking about as a player. And then we all know he GM'd and coached at in Phoenix. Danny Ainge knows what he's talking about when it comes to professional basketball. Danny Ainge knew how to pick Brad Stevens out of the college. He's like, dude, I'm not even gonna wait. You have to get you to go through IU, to go through Duke, to go through whoever else wants you. I'm gonna take you right now.
Wasn't that a shock of the hour when
Danny Ainge recruited Brad Stevens to come through the coaching ranks?
Absolutely. I was listening to JMV at the time when it came across the airways. I was in my car.
So Danny Ainge got two championships with the Boston Celtics as a player, and has played in championship games against Michael Jordan and with Charles Barkley, so on and so forth. So Kyrie Irving speaking through the media, talking about basically trade Jason Tatum or Brown so we can get my buddy on my team, whoever that might be, Jimmy Butler. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. And I've seen some people in the Boston media, they say if the Celtics don't make it to the Eastern Conference Finals or the Finals, that Brad Stevens should be fired. They should fire Stevens because he has all this talent and you're not even making it to the Eastern Conference Finals or Finals. I think that's preposterous, but that's the things I'm seeing in the Boston media.
That is preposterous. I would trade Kyrie Irving before I fire Brad Stevens.
Woo!
And that might
flat
be
Earth. Yeah.
Brandon,
okay.
They have two more first round lottery picks and Kyrie Irving's contract, which ends after next season.
Yeah.
Think about those cards if you was trying to deal to get Klay Thompson. That's a bad trade because they already have a guard set in, right? I'm thinking, if you find a third team to take Kyrie Irving. But now, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. 30 seconds on this. We got to go a few other things.
Okay. Go ahead.
All right. Last couple of days. Well, the biggest thing.
Go ahead.
Say what?
No, I'm done with the Kyrie Irving thing. That's what they're going to do.
We'll continue his. Big thing. We haven't even talked about the results of the national championship. Clemson just thumping Alabama. 2 minutes on the Clemson-Alabama game. Ready, go.
Man, I told you, man. Dabo's a liar. Dabo's a liar. He got a team behind a team.
Yeah.
He's a liar.
They proved me wrong. They played very, very well. And holy cow, there's a lot of Clemson in the near future.
Yeah. I question like Nick Saban, why didn't he, change up Jalen Hurts, bring him in earlier, and maybe that would have gave him a boost. But
there was a
right
lot
now,
of Nick Saban questions. The fake field
he
goal.
Did a lot of, he did a lot of non-Nick Saban things.
Yeah, everybody knew that was a no field goal was coming. Everybody knew they were going to fake that. And
he like panicked or something. I'm feeling for real. Like he's like panic. Like why did you? He's not the panicky kind of guy. But he's like the kind of panic. So
yeah, absolutely.
They'll be back in top three next year. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Need to know your thoughts. I saw it on Twitter, but maybe some of the listeners will like it. The Mean Gene tribute last week with Hogan on Raw.
You know, you can find Twitter troll Shane Hulk Hogan's tribute. I didn't, man. I think Hulk Hogan's tribute was heartfelt. That was a real tight team back then in the 80s, how they built up the WWE and what people be right now. Hulk Hogan went into another whole little thing where he was talking about, calling, having Mean Gene call. Check it out. Folks, if you ain't seen it on YouTube, man, it is. I think it's heartfelt. I thought it was kind of cool. as he went down the line of all the deceased wrestlers, who, again, he owes that he respects and, you know, help him get over, you know, between Macho Man, Randy Savage, and Roddy Piper as well. He gave everybody kind of a salute, even though it was technically Mean Gene's moment. But I enjoyed it.
Okay, good. Yeah, I enjoyed it as well. Really good, the video package that the WWE did with that. So awesome job there. Last thing I got, one thing I must start adding to this radio show is this day in sports. Every day we have, every time we have a podcast, I'm going to find something in sports that happened on this day. Just makes it fun. On this day in 1998, Charles Barkley pled not guilty to an assault charge. So, Charles, congratulations for not pleading guilty. The only thing I could find that was relevant really for that today. John, we have exactly 3 minutes left. Any final thoughts, any final things from you? What did you think of the Marvel preview?
The Captain Marvel preview? Oh, man, it was awesome. I can't wait for the movie to roll out.
I didn't know it was a chick. I told my buddy, I said, I thought it was like the whole thing was about like all of them, not just her.
It'll be a lot of things to come together. It's probably an origin movie. About, of course, about her. It'll be some more backstory about the Samuel Jackson character as well, Nick Fury. It'll be a good, fantastic ride. Marvel stuff never did before.
Okay, perfect. All right, any last things, my man?
Man, only you can prevent forest fires. That's what Smokey the Bear used to say. No, I got nothing else, man. I thank everybody for listening. Spread the word. If you know anybody likes sports talk radio, they should be listening to Brandon Reed and Jonathan Birdsall, period.
Absolutely. Nobody has said it better than us. Best sports podcast in radio in the state of Indiana. And that's – we give it to you straight up. We give it from a fan's perspective, and we give you the analysis with it, each of them, which is fun. And I've heard a lot of great things in the last couple of weeks, so we're doing something right, which I really like.
Absolutely.
We'll be back with you guys again next week. Be sure to follow us on our Facebook page. Also be looking at us on Twitter, at Brandon Reef, at Three Foolish Men for Jonathan, and then at Crossroads Sports. Facebook page will have a lot of things posted as well. Please like, subscribe, and share. This radio show will be uploaded onto the iTunes podcast here probably by the top of the hour, 9 o'clock, in about an hour. For everybody to listen to, please share. Let your people know, as Jonathan said. And I think that's about it. John, we'll see you again next week, my man.
All right. Take care, everybody. Have a good weekend.
Take care.
Crossroads Sports.